Hello, welcome to
Hello.
hey, welcome to Good Humor Wasted Presents Uncommitted Comedy. I'm here, your hostess with the mostest, Katina La Rosa, bringing it in from sunny Orlando, where you gotta have a side hustle to support your main hustle. And just want to let you know that we so uncommitted, we don't even know if we're gonna be on next week, okay? So just to let you know that I'm here with my guest. I'm so honored and so happy that she was able to join me tonight for this very important topic. And my girl Britt, please bring them in.
Hello. Hello.
I'm so hyped. So tell them where you're from.
All right. So long story short, I'm calling tonight because, you know, I be taking flights, you know. So I'm calling tonight from the very humid and hot Atlanta, Georgia. Where, you know, as you know, as I always say, the always get tested.
Freak me. I just remember Freak Me. That's all I remember.
Yeah, I was too young for Freak Me. But always get tested. That's all I'm saying.
Even in Florida, go ahead. You know, Saran wrap too. You know,
yes.
Saran
wrap yes. too. Safe sex, guys.
That's right. If you can't afford condoms, a little Vaseline and some Saran wrap.
Ooh, I don't know if I could condone that because that sounds like that hurt. Maybe we just have to try this again.
To come up. Put some icy hot on it, you know. Put some icy hot on it.
Jesus. Jesus be a yoni steam. That's all. Because that's what you're going to need after that, homegirl.
You need some holy water and some anointing.
Right. All types of spiritual apps, need all of that.
Just to go ahead and let y'all know, though, since we on this topic, for medical disclaimer, the content on this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health providers with any questions you may have regarding your medical condition. Okay? So yes. If it's let it burn, you better go see a doctor.
Yes, don't call me and don't try to send me because I can't help you with that.
And please don't send me no pictures because I can't help.
We don't need it.
Well, tonight we are actually going to be talking about a very important topic. Of course, it's always mental health is always our mental wellness. I like to say is always at the heart of this show, along with the comedy, because we want to bring awareness and comedic commentary concerning mental health. Of course, I believe I stated it. Once I'm gonna state it again, just in case y'all came in a little late, I'm Katina La Rosa. Okay, you gotta roll your R's when you say it. And I have my homegirl Brittany bringing it in with her wealth of knowledge, experience, some literature. She's gonna bring in some commentary from some literature. She's just gonna bring it all in regarding spirituality. So I think I'm gonna call this episode when spirituality meets religion, because I always thought that there was this dichotomy, it's separate, it's, you know, spirituality is different than religion, you know, right. And religion was almost like a cuss word, because it's like, it's rigid, but you explained to me that you can't have one without the other, you know, so.
Right. So there's kind of like this, well, basically, they both derive from each other because, I mean, the definition of religion and the definition of spirituality, you know, might seem like it's different. But when you get down to it, like all belief systems, because that's what they essentially are. It's a belief system. Some people might say it's a lifestyle, you know, way of life. It's things like that. It's still a belief system that you share. There's something, you know, there's an order to it, essentially. Be it dogmatic in nature or not, there's still like an order to it. So, so it's one of those things where it's like, you can't really just say, oh, well, you know, I'll take this and leave this. Like, no, there's still components of both in it, because you got to have a healthy balance of the two.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So just explain to me a little bit of your spiritual background, like, because I can tell you, I know you know this, but I used to call myself a cat bat. You know, because my mom was Baptist, and you know, if you asked her what our religion, we Baptist, we First Missionary Baptist. That's what we are. That's what we rep. Okay, we believe in Jesus juice, and we believe in Christ cookies. And that's what we having. So you know, my mom was hardcore Baptist all the way. Every Sunday, I'm not gonna say we went to church every Sunday. We didn't go to church every Sunday. I'm not even gonna lie on that.
Mm-hmm.
But we went. We went often enough for me to get the word and get the gist of it.
Right.
And then what we didn't cover, you know, my grandma read the Bible every day. My granddad was a deacon, you know, so I was around like in the church. Like my mom was, you know, that's the one thing that she was definitely sure on, you know, Christ,
right.
Jesus, very, very important for her. As far as when I went to school, I went to school at a Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
So worship is a little different, you know.
Yeah.
So I appreciate the Catholicism, you know, a lot of things from it. You know, I feel like the parables, you know, Matthew and all that, it was a good basis. And then from there, college is, I was a poli sci major, so I was political science.
Uh-huh.
I know a lot of people like poli sci, political science.
Okay.
I thought I could change the world and I wanted to go forth and become an attorney and do all that stuff. But long story short, that didn't happen. I did finish with my degree, but in the course of studies, I took Middle Eastern politics for my senior class, and I had to go to a mosque. Like it was required, a part of the learning course. So I read some of the Quran. I was like, whoa, this is real similar to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's totally different. So that's my background, and now I'm just on, you know, I like the word spirituality more.
Mm-hmm.
To describe my beliefs, but that's some of my background. Very open. And that's what I love about you, is that you're so open. You're so willing to explain, to share. And goodness, it never feels like a debate with you. Like,
no, there's no reason to debate. Like I said, it's a healthy exchange between two individuals that actually can put together sound thought. Like I learn when I have conversations with other people, even if I learn that you're just an idiot, like I'm still learning something. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I welcome conversations with people. Not to say that I'm one of those people that think I'm smarter than everybody, because I'm not. I just might know, you know, something.
You're pretty smart though.
But you know, I mean,
how many languages do you speak?
Currently, languages, full on languages, 2 fluency, 7. And then with that 7, another 4 dialects in between there. But
okay, but she's not the smartest person in the room. Please stop.
I'm not. I hate being, you know what? It's like, I'm not. Because I feel like if I'm the smartest person in the room, I need to leave that room. Because I prefer to be around people that are smarter than me and that are doing better than me, because it helps me, like, motivate me to keep going.
Right. She's low-key, like, she's the humble Doogie Howser. Okay?
Someone told me that the other day, and I was like, I am way too young for this reference. And then they explained it. I was like, oh, okay, thanks. Like,
I can't believe you're too young. Oh my goodness. I used to watch Doogie Howser. Don't make me feel
too
old.
young for the reference, but like I just didn't know. Like I didn't. I've never seen that show, so I was like,
That's because she don't watch TV, y'all. She read.
I do. I do.
No, but for real, I'm so like I love it when you go deep and you can. Oh my goodness, she has said some things that I've heard, like my little brain just go like a little pimple or something. I don't know. It's like boop. I'm like, dang, I didn't even think of that. So that's why I'm so excited to have you on the show talking about this, you know, the difference between spirituality versus religion and just overall well-being and getting in touch with your chakras and going all there. So give me some, I want to know, like, how did you find your spiritual path? Because most people find it after trauma.
Well, and I'm no different. Okay. So just to give a little bit of my like background, I was born and raised Roman Catholic. But I also belong to a family of islanders. So the thing about, you know, being an islander, you do have the Christianity or the Catholicism, but it's always with a twist of something more than that. So there is a spiritual component, be it Santeria or like in my case Candomblé, or you know, or anything like that, like Ifa, hoodoo, voodoo, which are two different ones, by the way. So there's different things that kind of, you always get that twist of something extra. So that's my background and upbringing. But what kind of started me, you know, on the path that I am on now is trauma, loss, and being in a place where I, you know, had a really good, high-paying job, but it was super stressful. So, and I felt like, you know, I wasn't able to, like, live my best life, essentially, because I'm constantly worrying about, okay, well, I have to take care of this, I have to take care of that. Like, I didn't have peace of mind. And then on top of that, I lost my best friend to cancer. We were very young. So losing that one person that I felt the most connected to in a matter of months, like, it literally, her condition came probably around, like, the maybe a few days after Christmas. I found out right as the new year started, she passed away in April, like literally months. To prepare for that and to kind of, you know, so it was a lot. And then my mother, she lost her partner. She was with him for like 11 years. So, you know, my mom has always been, you know, what most, you know, single black women do. They're always having to be strong and be both her entire life. So now that she finds someone her equal and her match that she was really happy with, you know, she was thriving, everything, to lose that person unexpectedly, you know, was really.
I feel you. Yeah. It is. I find that it is during those times of loss and just a void. I feel like sometimes a higher being uses that to develop and to mold and to bring about new life with that. So we're about to go to a break real quick, and then we're going to come back and get some more information in regards to the path. Okay. Hey, all right. So thank you for listening to that advertisement and break. Of course, we have a little break every once in a while in between. So back to your story. So I know that coming into it, how you found spirituality or your path was due to just experiencing overwhelming loss between your best friend, and then shortly after, your mom lost her partner of 11 years suddenly. And take us more onto that journey of how you discovered your spiritual path and your calling.
Yeah, so I was just saying before, like, I'm, you know, raised Catholic with a little twist. And so one day I happened to be scrolling on Facebook, not feeling particularly good about myself and life in general, but I came across this woman who was doing like tarot readings online on a live video, which I have always heard about tarot, never really delved too deep into it, just for, you know, just normal reasons. I always thought it was kind of like, not necessarily a hoax, but just I could see how it could be manipulative in nature. So I kind of just stared away from it. Mm-hmm. And but I found myself watching her video and it piqued my interest. So I was like, you know what? What the hell? I'll get a reading from this woman. I like her energy. She, you know, she makes me feel okay. So I'm just going to reach out and get a reading. So I did. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you, this woman read me from top to bottom. And it was the craziest situation, because even though I met her on Facebook, my page was private at the time. So like all the information that she gave, half of it I never posted. And the other half that I may have posted at one point, she wouldn't have been able to see. So she just read my energy and just read from top to bottom. And she kept making these statements like, your ancestors are here, like your spirit guides are here. Like, and she made the comment that when she started and I asked her for the reading, she said, it's almost like, she's like, I feel like I'm sitting in a room surrounded by people, and like everybody is trying to talk all at once because they're like so excited that you're now wanting to listen. Mm-hmm. And it's just, and it hit me. I was like, wow, that's pretty deep. So she gave me some books to read, which I'll go over a little bit later for those that are interested in that. So I started reading, researching, and just, you know, just trying to get an understanding of that connection to those who've passed on, your ancestors, you know, spirit guides and everything. I was learning a lot about chakras and everything, and I started putting a few things to practice. The main one being meditating and grounding. Those two things.
Explain that. Because grounding, a lot of people, they know what meditation is, and
right,
for some of y'all, that's not masturbation. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm just gonna have to put.
Although
that
it can,
it
although
can be, but can. It's not like all. Listen, you know, some people just get lost in their own little zone. So I have to put it out there. This we straight talk. We adults. We just gonna straight talk it. Okay.
Right. Of course.
Meditation is focus.
Well, right.
Okay.
Exactly. You can masturbate and meditate at the same time. You heard it here first. You can do it. But anyway, we'll talk about that a little later. But it's fun to get back to the grounding part. Okay, so what grounding is that basically what you are doing is making yourself be present in the moment. And by doing that, the grounding part of it is being in nature. So connecting with nature. And by connecting with nature, I was doing things like I would, you know, kind of stand in the grass, no shoes on, just kind of absorbing and just quieting my mind, and just kind of being present. At the time I was living in Florida, so I spent a lot of time just going to the beach, putting my feet in the sand or putting my feet in the water or being in the water and just, again,
being present in the moment, noticing, you know, the different sounds, the different smells, the different, you know, the wind, you know, just kind of being present. And by doing that, it majorly improved my stress and anxiety level because I was able to kind of pull everything back to center. I was able to focus. Whereas before, you know, with anxiety, your mind is running all the time. You're worried about things that you can't necessarily control at all. Like you're just all, you know, constantly running, so you get exhausted. But when you ground and meditate, you're forcing yourself to stop, to slow down, and to focus. And
Yes.
you start to think, okay, well, you know, so this might, you know what I'm saying, just kind of centering back and be like, okay, it's not doom and gloom. You know, I can think through this, and it allows you, it gives yourself permission to just do that, to stop and be like, okay, let's assess.
Yes. Now, I do want to tell people that you do want to watch where you ground at, because
Yes.
I caught myself trying to ground one day, but I think I might have been a little tipsy and I messed around and grounded in a pile of fire ants.
Oh yeah, no.
So
Definitely watch it. So the purpose of grounding is to be as connected to nature as you can. However, I'm not saying you gotta go walking around with shoes off, because a lot of people have issues with that. But I mean, just, you know, maybe just your socks on. Or I mean, you can ground with tennis shoes on. I'm not suggesting that you can't,
Or
because
sun
the
gazing.
right. The best way, because you're taking in that energy, you're taking in the rays, of course, with the SPF, because we don't want anybody to get melanoma or nothing, but you know, just
Vitamin
taking
D.
in all of that. You people don't understand, like, whenever you find yourself getting, you know, very down, depressed, sad, even sick, if you're noticing that you're staying sick and things like that, think about how often you spend in the sun. How much time you spend in the sun. If you barely go outside at all, if you're never in the sun at all, then that's a contributing factor to that. There's a reason why people in Seattle, like, they have a high propensity of like depression, suicide, even, because in places like Seattle, it rains all the time, so it's dark. They rarely get enough sun. And
Correct.
that's the scientific thing about that. So you have to, you know, get as much sun, especially as melanated people. We definitely need sun.
Have to have it, even though, even if you grew up in one of them homes that's like, ooh, stay out of the sun, you know, which
Right.
we'll cover that topic another day. We won't go on that. I don't want to delve into
Ooh,
that one yet.
yeah.
But you need the sunshine. Like, I love living in Florida, the sunshine state, sunshine capital, okay? Even when it's raining, the sun is out, okay? You know, that is a good message. And I feel like that's your story pretty much. Even when it's raining, the sun is out because you have a connection, you know, with those who have gone before you and something to keep you grounded. That's why, you know, you do those. So that's deep. There's so many parallels. So with the anxiety, I know work, girl, work is everybody's anxiety. I swear.
Right.
Yo, work is everybody's anxiety. For most, for I read a study, 85% of people hate their jobs.
Right.
Could you imagine you're there 8 hours a day and there's no release, because sometimes people hate their families and spouses that they gotta go home to.
Exactly.
What if people are snapping? But
Right.
you know, so if you think about it, you spend most of your day at work, you know, 8 hours, a good chunk, at least a good chunk, you know. And then when you're not at work, you're probably at home complaining or up obsessing about something that needs to be done at work. So when you're not
Right.
physically there, you're still there mentally. And then you finally pass out from exhaustion.
Right. And then you probably have a dream about it.
Yes. Some kind of nightmare. Usually it's a nightmare. Right. It's not. And then
people all the time, you have to create clear boundaries and maintain them.
Yes.
Important for people. You have to create clear boundaries and do not let anybody make you feel bad for doing that. Mm-hmm. Because boundaries not only help you, it helps other people as well.
It's a protection. Yeah.
It is a protection. So clear boundaries are important for everything and everyone. Like, clear boundaries, and you have to maintain them. It does you no good to set a boundary that you're going to, you know, keep letting somebody push further and further past the gate. No, you have to keep those clear boundaries. You have to be okay with saying no. You have to be okay with these things because it is your health that is on the line if you don't.
Yeah, I love saying no now. I'm no, no.
You know, Buffett, absolutely not.
Absolutely, unequivocally no.
No. So I love saying that.
Absolutely not. Yeah, you taught me that. Absolutely not. Child. Oh, the stories. But with the, I feel like everyone has to take the time to find their own path. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a lot that can be given to you as a child. That is excellent. You know, if you grew up in a household where you had some kind of spiritual base or religious base, I feel like you got a step ahead. But at the end of the day, everybody's worship isn't for everybody.
Right.
You know,
and that's important.
I gotta say that again. Hold on. I feel like somebody didn't get that. Everybody's worship isn't for everybody.
Yes.
Okay. So you gotta find your own path. And that's why we're here. That's why he gave us that's why we got a brain. You know, whether you're a scribe of male or female, you know, I just say he, because I told y'all my background, so I'm used to saying he, but I feel like our higher power is so much bigger than the words that I can use, you know.
Right.
So with that being said, you got to find your own path and do what's right in your heart.
Right.
In your heart. And what makes sense. Think with your head too. Okay.
Right.
Protect your heart. But with the with the spirituality, so you started going through books. I mean, what was the first book that just like I feel illuminated? Like, what was the first book that just sinked it?
The first book, let's see. So, I mean, it might sound cliche because a lot of people know of this book, but it's basically the Art of Attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Was the first book that kind of was like, okay, well, they call it Laws of Attraction, but I call it the Art of Attraction because there's definitely an art and a skill to manifestation and different things, which is what that, you know, book talks about. It's just the whole, you know, energy flow, how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So that book was probably the first one that kind of piqued the curiosity. And then I started reading other books that are more centered towards like, again, energy, universe. So reading about chakras, there's plenty of books about chakras, crystals that help. I leaned or was more interested in for like the natural homeopathic sense.
Mm-hmm.
And by homeopathic, I'm meaning like a more natural way of healing.
Okay.
Because I'm not a, doing things like that, I'm not with synthetic stuff. I like putting natural things in my body. So reading that, but just kind of getting back to the spiritual part of it, just understanding that all belief systems, be it religious in nature or spiritual in nature, everything has the same basis. And that basis is the golden rule. Treat others how you want to be treated. Even with the law of attraction, if you put good out there, you're going to attract good. If you put bad out there, you're going to attract bad. So even then, it still falls back to that golden rule of treat others how you would like to be treated. And that's just something in the Quran, and what I'm saying, in the Jewish texts, in the Bible, everything, it's all the same. It very big Buddhism, all of it just runs down to treating others as you would like to be treated, putting out that good energy, that good karma, and receiving it back tenfold. So basically, that's what kind of started my research and looking into different things and kind of figuring out, okay, what resonates with me? Because I grew up, like I said, in a Catholic household. However, my mother and my grandparents were of the mindset that, you just need God. I don't care what kind of God you find, you just need one. You know what I'm saying? So it was kind of, and my grandparents had seven children. One of their sons, he's an ordained pastor of the Church of God in Christ, Kojic. And then I have an aunt. She was back. She started going more towards non-denominational now. And then I have another aunt that's Baptist. I have another aunt who really just doesn't really do anything religiously. A few others, they are more of a, they still remain with the Catholic sense. So, it was kind of like a melting pot of that. And then, of course, in my travels dealing with friends, I've also been to a mosque. I've been to a Buddhist temple and chanted before. So just experiencing all of those things, I had to figure out what resonated deep within me to where I understand. Because if I can't relate, and if it doesn't resonate, then I'm not going to stick with it. I'm not going to do anything with it. So
Amen.
that's basically how I started my journey, just researching everything to figure out, okay, what resonates with me? What helps me understand, my purpose in life and how the world works and my relation to it.
And for those who are not going through anything and who haven't been through anything and they just love their job, which we've already discovered that that's a very small percentage because 85% of people don't like their job. Get yourself a little I don't know what we want to call them. Scrubs. Get you a scrub. Okay? Be with that scrub and hold that scrub down for a good 2, 3 years, And then that will, I'm telling you what, that will illuminate you. You either gonna be in somebody's jailhouse or somebody's church house.
Right. I'm telling you, that is the quickest way to get somebody to go to God, right there. One of them, I'm like, look, Jesus, something's gotta give.
Sacrificed.
Right. Ooh, G, like my cousin say, but Jesus be some bail money, because I'm about to even go to the church house, the funeral home, or the jailhouse. One of them.
Oh my goodness, like Jesus take the wheel. No, I got the wheel. Hold this down, hold my commissary down. But in all seriousness, everyone goes through something at some point of their life where they're challenged. I don't think I've met anyone that hasn't had some type of challenge. But it's all on how you cope with it and deal with it. And it looks like you've taken the, I mean, it's not an easy road. I don't feel like spirituality or religion is
no.
like a magical pill that you take and everything's better. Like some people feel like that, like, oh, you know, and you just take it and it's all better. And it's like, no, it's a path. It's almost like a puzzle. And you have to like figure out like what's broken and how do we fix it? And, you know, and build.
That's why it's quite opposite of that. A lot of people, I agree, a lot of people feel like, oh, spirituality is easy, all you're doing is just out there, you know, calm, you know, hippie. They'd be like, no, because what people don't understand about spirituality is a lot of it, if you're honest, a lot of it is a lot of introspection. Like, it's a lot of working on you, a lot of healing. And when you're doing that, when you're working on yourself and when you're healing, you have to be honest with yourself because you can't lie about your traumas. You can't do that. So you have to literally go inside and peek at and tweak and touch every dark corner of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
To figure out what it is that's driving, you know, what is it that's causing blockage? What is it that's, you know, causing these certain effects? Like, women always talk about how they, you know, these dealing with these relationships where the partner is a deadbeat, or he's always, you know, or she's always beating on them. They're finding themselves in these situations. Mm-hmm. And it's like, not to victim blame, because I don't believe in that, but you also have to think about, again, your surroundings, your life, what happens to you is a direct result of a decision that you either did or didn't make. Right. So about you that you are attracting this type of individual? There is something that you that is mirroring you, because let's be honest, when you're dealing with someone in a relationship, they're a mirror image of yourself. So it's like, what is it that's in you somewhere that's attracting this type of person to you?
Well, whatever. Some people just like to complain. I'm just going to tell you the real of it. I mean, some of it is they really love that person. They've been with them for years. Mm-hmm. That's all they know. Or they grew up in dysfunction junction. But I feel like at the end of the day, that's a cop-out. I'm sorry. I'm going to be real.
Right.
I feel like it's a cop out. At the end of the day, it's just easier to sleep with the devil you know than to go out and change and do some deep diving and improve and work on yourself. It's easier to fix other people than to fix yourself.
It is. And it is. But see, then that's where my not so nice side comes out, because I feel like, with that same sentiment, if it's easier to sleep with the devil that you know than to go out and fix yourself, then if I know that you're like that and that's what you're doing, you can no longer complain to me and talk to me about this devil that you know.
You are she will hit you with the call forward.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yourself into that situation. So I have no other words, no guidance, no nothing about it.
Because I've seen it do it. She'll hit you with the call forward. Doop, doop.
Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't talk to you about it no more. We can't, you don't know love lost or nothing, but don't come complaining to me because you're putting yourself in this situation. So, you know, I get it. I get what you're saying, but at the same time, we are personal accountability. I'm all about personal accountability all the time. See. I can't be mad at you for a decision that I keep making over and over again. I think it was, I forgot what his name is now that I'm trying to quote him, but you know what I'm saying? When you make a mistake so many times, it's no longer a mistake, it's a decision.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So if you're deciding to deal with certain things and to have those things in your life, then baby girl or baby boy, that's on you. You can't
blame nobody. So I have a question about this. This is, I know we're probably coming up to the close, but I wanted to know how you felt about fasting and maybe like just an experience that you had from fasting and the spiritual growth and the mental clarity, like your chakras, third eye, or
yeah. So the thing about chakras is that you have seven major and like an obscene amount of minor. So, but you have seven major chakras, and each chakra is represented by a different color, a different organ, a different vibration, and everything. So your chakras can be, of course you want balance, but some can be overactive, some can be underactive, and some can be completely blocked. So with fasting and doing things where you're doing that meditation and you're just kind of doing the seclusion, because honestly, that's one of the things that's important too, secluding yourself, not completely, shutting out the world, but taking some time to be by yourself to kind of figure out you and learn yourself. That's where that comes into play, because different chakras need different things to be able to balance out. So like your root chakra, which is represented by the color red, that's the one that's basically about your pelvic bone, a little bit lower, kind of like at the seat. Grounding is something that helps that. Being just in nature. The root chakra is something, that's one thing that a lot of people need to work on, honestly speaking. A lot of people have issues with root chakras because it's a very deep, and all of them are important, but that one is really important. So you have like that one, or like your sacral chakra, solar in your plexus, like different things are stimulated by, like you have creativity stimulates one. So if you're, not feeling so well, having indigestion problems or things like that, maybe you just need to be more creative, get a creative outlook on things. If you're having issues with, communication, that means your throat chakra is off. That means you have to start doing things that promotes, the health and balance of your throat chakra. If you're noticing that you can't communicate properly with people, you keep getting misunderstood about things, all of that's something that leads to that. Say your intuition is one thing. That's your third eye right there. Your pineal gland. If your intuition is something that's important a lot of people don't listen to, or they do, but they don't know that they're doing it. It's just one of those things, like there's different things you could do and stimulate those chakras. Even if something as simple as wearing those colors or eating foods that are those colors could help. Like it's really just one of those things, like again, it's a personal thing that deals with you. The fasting part of it is interesting because, again, when you fasting to me is kind of like a another way of bringing everything back to center, because so much of our food and the way we eat and our intake definitely it doesn't just affect our physical health, but it could also affect our spiritual health and our mental health.
Yes. See, it's all about mental wellness.
Yeah, like that total wellness, not just one or the other, like total wellness. So eating the right foods in the right proportions helps different things, not eating too many, fried foods that weigh you down and cause issues. Like a lot of people don't understand, like when you have ailments and different like that, you can bring that back to chakras. If you have an ailment in a certain section, but if
It's
you
going
just
down.
certain foods and stimulate that chakra that corresponds to that part of your body, that helps. Same thing with acupuncture. Acupuncture is the same way. That's they use those needles to puncture different pressure points to help stimulate that energy release. Blocked.
I can't do it. See, needles. I don't like, and I'm be honest, I don't like laying on no cold table, you know what I'm saying? And with a stranger over me sticking me with needles. That's the only thing that keeps me from acupuncture. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I could stay home and save that. I don't know, it's probably like $50 or something. I could burn a needle and stick myself for free. I do.
No.
Yeah, because there's certain pressure points. Well, okay, so if you're not a fan of needles, there is something that's called Reiki. A lot of people are just now kind of...
Where they, like, stand up. Yeah. I don't know, because I don't know everybody's energy, except for yours. I would let you. If you wanted to do Reiki, I'll be like, okay, that's cool. Because I know
you're that's the thing about someone who's certified is that they do have, you know, there's courses that you have to go through. Mm-hmm. There's certification, there's everything. So an actual Reiki master, you know, is self-aware of their energy, mm-hmm. and they'll know when and when not to work on somebody.
Okay.
Like I'm not Reiki master yet. I have to take my courses. But even when I do my consultations with energy, when I have conversations with people, mm-hmm. if I know personally I'm not in a good energetic space, I won't even do it. Mm-hmm. I'll reschedule. I'll just have to do it later, because the thing about energy is, you know, it's just as well as you can take it in, somebody can give it out.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody who's genuine about their walk on it, they won't even come near somebody if they know that they're not right.
See, that's consideration. And see, that's why I love having these conversations with you. So if you are needing any kind of, I would say, spiritual consulting, definitely check out Brittany. You can go ahead and find her on Facebook. Please give your contact information, how people can find you.
So if you just want to have a conversation, because I'm, you know, I'm a pretty dope person, I'm here because I like counseling and consult works. No, I'm not like a licensed therapist or anything, but I'm an individual who's lived a very interesting life. So I can understand a lot, and I like to help people gain their own understanding of things. So if you want a consultation, spiritual consultation, just want to have a conversation, or if you want information about the books or anything or any particular path that interests you, my Facebook is Brittany, and that's Brittany, the correct way. Lady Poetry Stroud, Stroud. You can find me on Facebook. I'm also on IG at Lady Poetry 86. You can DM me there. And my email address is ladypoetry86@gmail.com. You can reach out to those avenues, and I'll definitely respond back.
Yes. So I want to thank you for taking the time to come on, share some of your path. I feel like we could do like a part two on this, because yes. You can go so many different directions. I've learned so much from you. And I feel like a lot of people can learn as well. So this topic is not done. You can definitely do a lot with it, but the general synopsis that I got from it was, through your pain you found growth, through your loss you found gains, because you you invested in yourself to dig deeper and right. to use those moments to turn it into something positive, which, you know, a lot of people some people will just soak and just, ugh, I lost everything, you know, da 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 da. And right. you took inventory of your life, you took control, and you managed your overall spiritual being with your mental health being, and yes. you set limits. And yes. And let me tell you, I have been there for her limits, okay? Yes. I have seen her. She's not just saying, oh, set limits. No, she's put it into action, honey. She has dropped and cut some folks. Like, done.
Yes, mercilessly, because that is one thing that I'm very, very protective of, and that is my energy. So I have to learn, you know, boundaries are very, very important.
Yes.
Very important.
And I've learned how to say, absolutely not, with yes. a smile.
No.
So anytime you hear me say that, just think Brittany.
Yes.
Well, I want to thank my listeners for coming in and joining us. I want to definitely thank my guest tonight, Brittany. It's Absolutely. Always great having time with you and sharing, you know, energy. And of course, you can check us out at goodhumorwasted.com. You can find us on Facebook, Good Humor Wasted, Instagram. You know, I tinker on Instagram. I'm more on Facebook, but you can find me on Instagram, a Good Humor Wasted. We believe in keeping everything uniform. And Uncommitted Comedy wishes you a good night. And what's the saying, guys? What's the saying? I just want to let you know, hey. Well, we are so uncommitted. We don't know if we'll be on next week. So, you know, we might be on, we might not. But either way, thanks for listening tonight. And I hope everyone has a good night. Thanks, Brittany.
You're welcome.
All right.